You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the
this
Civic Media
CBS
app.
CBS News on the Hour. Presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Stacey Lynn in Washington. An extremely challenging rescue mission is now underway in Turkey, where an American researcher got stuck in a cave. Mark Dickey's 3,000 feet down and injured. Gretchen Baker with the National Cave Rescue Commission.
There are over 70 rebelays, or 70 separate ropes that you have to get on. That makes it challenging for the rescuers to get down to Mark, which can take anywhere from 8 to 15 hours. And even more challenging to start taking him up.
President Biden is set to touch down in New Delhi, India, in about an hour from now. Traveling with him for the G20 summit, CBS's Ed O'Keefe, who tells us who declined the invite.
There are notable absences. China's Xi Jinping and Russian President Vladimir Putin both saying they won't be making the meetings. Putin, of course, is preparing to get together with Kim Jong-un of North Korea in the coming days as those two countries talk about a potential arms deal.
In Hong Kong, at least two people have died from extreme rain and flash flooding. It's the most rainfall Hong Kong has ever experienced. Hurricane Lee's in the Atlantic, and it's a whopper Category 5 storm packing 160-mile-per-hour winds. While Lee isn't expected to make landfall, Odyssey New York meteorologist Craig Allen tells us...
The question beyond this weekend is, where does Lee go next? It currently looks like he's going to take a path between the Bahamas and Bermuda.
If you have an iPhone or iPad, you need to update your device ASAP. Apple issued an emergency warning. Tech contributor Ian Schur.
It closes security holes that are known to be actively being used to attack the devices of politicians and journalists and activists and other potentially sensitive groups.
More legal troubles for Spain's soccer chief nearly a month after that kiss.
Prosecutors have just filed a formal complaint with Spain's high court accusing suspended soccer federation president Luis Rubiales of sexual assault and coercion. He continues to insist the kiss he planted on the lips of World Cup player Jenny Hermoso was consensual. She has filed a legal complaint against him, and now Rubiales could face a criminal trial. Vicky Barker, CBS News, London.
Coco Gauff's semifinal match at the U.S. Open last night took longer than expected. So what was the holdup?
Slight delay here. There's apparently maybe environmental protesters up in the...
As you hear there on ESPN, an activist glued his feet to the cement floor. The match finally resumed and Gauff won it, advancing to the finals for the first time in her career. Half hour before Wall Street opens and U.S. stock futures are down. This is CBS News.
You need to hire fast and hire right? You need Indeed. Their all-in-one hiring platform helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates efficiently. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
With news on WAUK The Shaw, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. They raised a glass yesterday to toast a 20-year-long project finally coming to reality.
To the healthy, clean water for Waukesha for generations, and to Milwaukee Water Works, which we'll be drinking. Cheers.
Cheers.
Waukesha Mayor Sean Riley clinked glasses with Milwaukee's mayor during a ceremony. The water project involved approvals from 8 states and 2 Canadian provinces, as well as the installation of miles of pipeline. The transition is scheduled to happen next week. Dragonflies are running wild in the area. A Mequon Nature Preserve manager says the phenomenon is a natural occurrence and has positive implications. This season marks the migration period for dragonflies, and they're actively contributing to the ecosystem by preying on other insects, particularly mosquitoes. With news on WAUK The Shaw, I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
Experience Nightlight, September 8th and 9th from 5 until 10:30 p.m. Presented by Joy Engine. The dazzling spectacle is an immersive 4D light festival taking place in Milwaukee's historic Mitchell Street neighborhood. Digital animations, dance, music, art, and fashion combine to create a visual, family-friendly sensory experience outside of 710 West Historic Mitchell Street, home of Mitchell Street Arts. The event is family-friendly and free to the public. Don't miss this iconic event. Nightlight, where art comes to life. Information at joyengine.org.
Wisconsin traditions have been built for years around the Badgers, game day, and the mascot. But lead miners are the original Badgers in the state, not the animal or the mascot. It was the 1820s, and the miners often didn't have shelter in the winters, so they lived like Badgers by digging tunnels into the hillsides to stay warm and sleep where they worked. It led to the reason why today you really can't think of Wisconsin without thinking Badgers. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Barr.
US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us. Missed your favorite show or
game? Well, I got a woman.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. It's 844-967-2789. Texas, that same number. It's Friday. It means Fridays with Sandy Williams. So, Sandy, the COVID conversation is back, and we're going into the fall. And over the last couple of years, the fall has meant, hey, it's time to prepare for COVID.
Yeah.
And all the horrible things that are still in our minds, 250,000 people who died, and we can't, that's still there, right? It's, that was still fresh in our minds. And, you know, and we're hearing and reading about COVID starting to move around, and this variant might not be as dangerous as the others, but we've got a new vaccine that we say is even better and handles COVID better than the ones before. Sandy, you and I had the vaccines. And I think at the time that we had the vaccines, there was so much unknown, right?
Well, I think, you know, when we started getting the vaccines when there was almost nothing known about COVID. And it evolved over the year period, when the year and a half period that it took for me to get either three or four shots.
You and I.
And I think that at the time, my response to it was more or less like the response that everyone had at the time of smallpox. I mean, you're horrified about getting the disease, but the main reason to respond to getting vaccinated was to protect the community. It was a community effort to protect the hospitals and the health system and the people who are particularly vulnerable. Even if you yourself weren't a particularly vulnerable potential COVID victim, you might give it to someone who was particularly vulnerable. And so now it's all about protecting other people. It was a community interest. It's the main reason for wearing masks. You know, it was presented to us too much like this all was being done to protect ourselves. And then that argument could be pierced by the notion, well, you know, virus can still get through masks. It's not a perfect protection. And you can still get COVID even if you get vaccinated. But it was all being done to protect the community. That's really the reason for mandates or even a lot of public pressure to get something. Now the question is whether we face that same circumstance now. There's a lot more known about it. Many more of us, almost all of us, have had COVID and gotten through it. And so we view it as a disease that we survive. And maybe for many of us, it was a fairly minor problem. And so I think the issue for getting vaccinated in the future will be a personal choice, unless it can be demonstrated that the community needs us all to go through a vaccination process to protect the hospitals, to protect our health system, and to protect widespread epidemic of this disease to the particularly vulnerable. If the disease has evolved to something like the flu, then I think the particularly vulnerable will be expected to protect themselves from it to the extent possible. and the public will be given a choice as to whether or not they want to get vaccinated against the next version of influenza.
So it's safe to say it's going to be a much more difficult sale to people this time around.
Well, yes, I think the sell will have to be based upon facts, and the facts in terms of selling it to people to get it, you know, beyond if you're a skeptic and your skepticism is not lifted by the notion that you want to preserve yourself and protect yourself against the disease and take whatever risk is inherent in the vaccine because you're concerned about being protected. If that's what the public is left with, then it's going to be a hard sell to get the people who are skeptics to get it. If the sell is that the community absolutely needs this because the hospitals are collapsing, then that's a different argument. We didn't make that argument actually adequately at the time when our hospitals were collapsing, but now there isn't any evidence that that's in the offing.
So you always brought that up about the hospitals, and the key to all of that was the fact that our hospitals could not handle the capacity
right.
of what was going on. Well, is it safe to say probably hospitals now have made adjustments? They've had time now
yes.
to think all these things. They certainly haven't been sitting around twiddling their thumbs.
And I think people are not as quickly hospitalized when they get the disease. I mean, I think when the disease was very unknown, the medical community was much quicker to hospitalize people based on the potential danger of the disease going south rather quickly, they thought. I think now with more experience, there is probably a lower percentage of cases of people who get hospitalized.
The other part of it was all the media coverage on it a couple of years ago, and rightfully so, you know, freezer trucks with bodies
right.
outside.
Well, that was all evidence of the medical system collapsing. New York City had a collapse. Italy had a collapse. Spain had a collapse. I mean, it did happen across the world and across the country. Milwaukee's hospitals were overflowing. There were tents being erected.
Right.
People being served out of tents.
State Fair Park.
So, I mean, you know, the fact was that our medical capacity was stressed to the point where people were going to die of other things because they couldn't be hospitalized right. because of COVID. That's the very nature of a medical system collapse. When people start dying of other things, not COVID, because COVID is making the hospitals incapable of providing necessary care.
So I know that I'm not going to be the first one to race to get a vaccine. When I made the decisions before to get them, it was based on, really, to be honest with you, I thought protecting myself at the time that I was
That was the problem with the way we were told about it, because I think people were told to wear masks to protect themselves and to get vaccinated to protect themselves, when in fact the most efficacious reason to wear masks societally is because it protects everyone else. If you, sitting across the table from me, are wearing a mask, I am protected much more because what comes out of your mouth and nose is filtered.
And because you don't know what I have.
Right, exactly.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
So it's really all about a communal interest and not so much a self-interest. And I'm afraid in America, we've gotten so focused on self-interest that we don't even know how to talk to one another about the communal interest for doing such things. I personally don't know what I'll do about getting vaccinated. I'm reluctant to talk about it only because I don't want to have any impact
right.
on what someone else does.
That's right.
Because I'm not a scientist on this, and I don't really know the ups and downs of it. I do know that I'm not a regular. I don't line up for flu vaccinations, but it's because over my lifespan I've only gotten the flu a couple of times. I don't get it.
So let's move to this.
Yeah.
Biden faces continued low approval ratings, concerns about age, poll finds. 60, and this is in Politico, 67% of Democrats.
Right.
And Democratic-leaning survey voters said the party should nominate someone other than Biden.
Well, if they'd asked me, I would have been part of that 67.
Well,
I think all that polling that's being done by by CNN, by Politico. It's come out in the last week or so, quite a few polls looking at the candidates, and it's a sad story for America. We've got two leading candidates who people don't want to elect president, and
we can't fix it.
And we can't fix it. And the people are, and those people are too selfish to step down. Both of them have been president. They've already done it. You know, yes. They've had their they've had their lap, and apparently their appetite for power is too great to have them step aside and let someone else, who's more likely to get elected, who might represent the interests of the people they're trying to represent, be successful. So the conservatives would like to get, you know, the Republicans would like to win their election. If they nominate Trump, he's not a very popular guy to get elected in generally. If the Democrats elect Biden, it's clear that there are many, many doubters. Not so much that they don't like him, but that they're not sure about electing that man president. So if he stepped aside, if there was another nominee, if both of them stepped aside and other nominees, we'd actually probably have a real horse race.
Well, but Sandy, you and I know neither one of them are going to step aside. And so that's where we are right now with this, Sandy, where even the Democrats who can't conceive, even though they know that this is a stretch to elect Biden for another 4 years, and we can't continue to dismiss it like his age and those kind of things don't matter. But the Republicans, on the other hand, I mean, they're dealing with certain death because the majority now, 60% or more are saying Trump is our guy.
Well, 60% of the Republicans are saying he's our guy. And if you go out and poll America, he doesn't do anywhere near that well.
Right.
And so we've got two people who are likely to get the nomination within their party for whatever reasons, who don't really poll that well nationally. And both parties probably could field candidates quite easily who would demonstrate that they would have a real horse race. I picture a two-horse race, and the horses are limping around, slogging in the mud, and it's not clear. And you could have an actual thoroughbred horse race if we went out and got...
And the worst part about it, Sandy, is this is a critical juncture in the history of the nation, right?
Yeah, I mean...
I mean, really, it really is. The nation is facing some harsh decisions that have to be made for the future of the direction of our nation.
Well, and quite frankly, one of the candidates, and it's not Biden, if elected, is one of the real threats that our nation faces, is what direction will our country go in that circumstance? And we could dodge that bullet if that person weren't elected. You know, we could successfully dodge that bullet. And that's really, to me, the most important aspect of the
election. All right, we've got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. Those on the line will come to you after the break. Be right back.
Uh-oh, did a rock hit your windshield from that semi? Don't worry, Autoglass Now offers fast, reliable, and convenient service. For a limited time only, Autoglass Now is offering 50% off windshield replacement. Call your local Autoglass Now today for full details.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Don't let biased algorithms or degree screens or exclusive professional networks or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
Miss our conversations on air? Join the discussion on our social media channels. Find Civic Media on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can also find social media for specific shows and hosts on our website. Go to civicmedia.us.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Cloudy skies with a few peaks of sun this afternoon with a high of 69. Winds out of the north, 8 to 15 miles an hour. Tonight, lows around 49, highs around 72. Tomorrow, ample sunshine expected. Partly cloudy Sunday, with daytime highs approaching 75. 68, chance for scattered storms Monday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 57 degrees.
Your home of the Earl Ingram Show. Weekday mornings from 8 till 10 on The Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's Friday. It means Friday's with my co-host, Sandy Williams. Let's go to the phone lines. And Cindy from Appleton. Good morning, Cindy. How are you doing? You say what?
Good morning, Earl. Well, here's my theory. Call me crazy, but I think the Democrats are hell-bent on getting a woman into the presidency. So if they put our current president back in with Kamala Harris as the vice, and he doesn't make it through the term, which he probably won't, we will by default have a female president.
I wouldn't disagree with you. I just think that's a horrible way to go about doing it. You know, Sandy?
Well, I think that gives too much credit to the notion that there's people in a room who are actually thinking about this and controlling
and
it.
And looking at it from that perspective.
Yeah, I mean, I'm afraid what's happened is parties have basically lost control of their parties, and so it ends up being candidates that raise money independently or otherwise have power. So I think what's happened here really is that Biden just wants another lap, and he's not unselfish enough to, because he understands, he reads the polls, he knows that he could step aside. In that case, I guess you're right, it might be relatively much less likely that you end up with a woman, because it could be that Kamala Harris would not win. Her polling data at this point doesn't suggest that she would necessarily win a primary campaign.
I don't think there's any chance that she would. I clearly don't think there's any chance that she wouldn't. Anybody's guess is, you know, where we are. Thank you very much for the call. I appreciate it. Let's go to Jack from Merrimack. Good morning to you, Jack. How you doing, sir?
Good morning. This whole thing is absolutely crazy. Somehow, apparently the so-called independent voter has gotten the impression that Joe Biden is too old. At roughly age 80, if I read the actuarial tables right, as he's gotten, basically as you get older, you stand a much better chance of getting older. And his lifespan at 80 in decent health, which he appears to be, is about another 7 or 8 years. And that's an average. That doesn't count the fact that every president has the finest medical options available in probably in the world. The independent voter has apparently been sold that Biden's too old. They've also been sold that either our justice system is corrupt or our election system is corrupt. And so It's perfectly fine, almost anything that Trump has done. And all of this, you know, all of these charges against Trump are just politically motivated, which doesn't happen at the federal level, by the way, not to mention not at the state level either. It boggles my mind that someone that basically tried to overturn the government of the United States has a chance of becoming president.
I can't buy that either. It just is still unbelievable to me.
Well, my hope is that a court would on a January 6th issue will reach a resolution before the election, and that then numbers of Secretary of States around the country will be unwilling to put Trump on the ballot, and that case will quickly get to the Supreme Court and it will prevail. But otherwise, you're right. I mean, it seems like the general public is possibly going to give a pass on this, although, you know, he doesn't poll that well on national elections, nonpartisan. But either does Biden. And so, you know, I think you can state the facts actuarially, but what the general public thinks ends up being an important fact as well. Certainly politically, it's an important fact.
The right wing media has been screaming about this ever since Biden got elected. Actually, ever since he started running, that was one of the big things.
You mean his age?
Of course, Trump, who is not in near as good shape, and he's only a couple of years younger.
Yeah,
which makes him pretty old too.
Well, I think there's this, Jack. I think much like January 6th, where people can watch and could watch and draw their own conclusions, people can watch and draw their own conclusions about Biden and Trump in terms of their physical capacities. And I think one of Biden's problems is that his stammering, which has been a lifelong issue for him, causes him to be less articulate than he might otherwise be, and people have maybe been ascribing that to age when maybe it's just a subject to being caused by a lifelong issue.
But Sandy, articulation is not the same as lucid, right? I mean, those are polar opposites, right?
Yeah. And you know, there's lots of TikToks and things that would suggest him. Those are probably taken out of context. I'm not there to watch every moment. And quite frankly, when Biden gets before a camera for a long period of time, when he gave his White House address and whatever, he seems quite with it. Well, but I'm just saying that the American public is in a position to draw its own conclusions about that particular issue, and they apparently are.
You know, Sandy, the fact that these conversations we're having.
Yeah.
About both sides of this is what is so disheartening.
It's extremely disheartening.
Yeah. I mean, it's the United States of America. It's the presidency of the United States that we're talking about, for heaven's sakes.
Yeah.
And never in history have we had to deal with anything of this magnitude. Got to go to a break. 844, I see you. We'll come to you, CJ. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.
Waukesha, home of Les Paul, our awesome farmers market, and The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
CBS News Brief. An American who's injured and stuck down in a cave in Turkey has sent a video message up.
I'm alert, I'm talking, but I'm not healed on the inside yet.
A rescue mission's underway to get Mark Dickey out safely. President Biden has just landed in India for the G20 summit. Our Ed O'Keefe is traveling with him.
The president is set to meet tonight with the Indian Prime Minister Narendra Modi. This whole trip is designed to put much more focus here on Asia amid concerns about China's growing dominance. And that's also why he's scheduled to visit Vietnam on Sunday.
If you're an iPhone or iPad user, Apple's out with an emergency software update after two issues were found that could compromise your data. Tech contributor Ian Schur.
This is the latest in an escalating effort by hackers to get into our devices and tech companies to keep their promises our devices are secure and reliable.
CBS News Brief. I'm Stacey Lynn.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
With news on WAUK The Shaw, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. Waukesha Mayor Sean Riley and Milwaukee Mayor Cavalier Johnson raised glasses yesterday to celebrate the realization of a 20-year-long, $300 million water project.
To the healthy, clean water for Waukesha for generations and to Milwaukee Water Works, which we'll be drinking. Cheers.
Cheers.
A transition from groundwater to freshwater sourced from Lake Michigan via Milwaukee is anticipated to take about 5 days to complete, with that process starting next week. The bronze fonts has been fixed. City maintenance crews in Milwaukee say they've successfully removed a black substance from a statue located along Milwaukee's Riverwalk. It appears someone had coated the fonts with black latex paint. The cleaning process took about 6 hours to complete. With news on WAUK The Shaw, I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
Imagine wearing a shirt that's either too big or too small. That just doesn't feel right. And when it comes to your Medicare coverage plan, Smart Medicare Solutions understands that one size does not fit all. Your plan should be meticulously tailored to meet your specific needs. With a wide range of insurance providers to choose from, Smart Medicare Solutions can help find your perfect Medicare fit. Get clear, objective advice by logging on smartmedicaresolutions.com. Smart Medicare Solutions, guiding you through Medicare with generations of expertise. Experience Nightlight, September 8th and 9th from 5 until 10:30 p.m. Presented by Joy Engine. The dazzling spectacle is an immersive 4D light festival taking place in Milwaukee's historic Mitchell Street neighborhood. Digital animations, dance, music, art, and fashion combine to create a visual, family-friendly sensory experience outside of 710 West Historic Mitchell Street, home of Mitchell Street Arts. The event is family-friendly and free to the public. Don't miss this iconic event. Nightlight, where art comes to life. Information at joyengine.org.
RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know what's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
Join the conversation with your favorite hosts or shows anytime. Follow Civic Media on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Share your thoughts on our social media channels wherever you are, whenever you want. The Civic Media Network of local radio stations here for you.
Welcome back to the Friday edition of the Earl Ingram Show. It's Friday with Sandy Williams as my co-host, and let's go to the phone lines and CJ. CJ, thank you for waiting. You say what, sir?
Thanks, Earl and Sandy, for taking my call. There are two tiers of justice for President Biden, just like wearing the mask. He only does it when he feels like he has to do it, and our justice system. You know, he has to run again to cover up his crimes because he's bought and paid for by China. No question about it. And Earl, you laughed at me the first time I mentioned Nikki Haley. You had a caller speak of our first woman president. Let it be known I'm voting Republican. And I told you months ago, it's going to be Nikki Haley, and it is going to be Nikki Haley.
What's going to be Nikki Haley?
The nominee?
Our nominee. I'm voting Republican. The Democrats are hell-bent on destroying Trump with two tiers of justice because they don't fall in line with Biden and his family. We're finding that out. The 51 former intelligence officers that lied to CJ, America.
Dare I say this, CJ? I remember a month or two ago, you were singing the praises of Ron DeSantis. I'm voting for Ron DeSantis. He's the guy. Remember when you said that? So now it's Nikki Haley. What changed?
I did say that. Huh? I did say Tim Scott.
And you said Tim Scott.
Tim Scott would be a wonderful president.
Well,
Ron DeSantis would be a great president, but
yeah, but you said you were voting for him. Now it's Nikki Haley. What happened? No, I said now it's Nikki Haley. What happened?
It's always been Nikki Haley.
No, you said Ron DeSantis. A month ago.
We've got a lot of great candidates, Earl. We've got a lot of wonderful candidates. You've got three candidates that are running against Biden, but he won't primary. He won't debate them.
He doesn't have to.
He shakes with the air.
Well, actually, primary, he will have to. But debate, I guess he doesn't have to, and either does
Biden. Donald Trump isn't going to do it either.
Yeah. You know, more power to you. If Nikki Haley's the candidate, I think that'll be a blessing.
Over what it could be.
Yeah, over what it could be. Yeah. I think we will have dodged the bullet that would be the outcome if Trump gets elected. But I think you're right about the two-tier justice system. I'm not sure. I don't think there's necessarily clear evidence of that. My understanding from what I've been reading recently is that Hunter Biden is likely to be indicted by the end of this month. So we'll find out at that point what's happened with respect to the investigation of Hunter Biden. And
would that change your view on the justice system if Hunter Biden is indicted? Nope. Did we lose CJ? We must have lost him. Okay, go ahead, CJ.
Well, there is two tiers of justice, and we're finding out because the Biden administration is not forthcoming with information. And
wait a minute. The Biden administration, the Trump administration stonewalled. I don't think we should look at what's currently happening and point the finger at what someone else is doing. But the fact is, it's hard not to. I'm not sure what information the Biden administration is not forthcoming about, but I think both Earl and I have repeatedly said that we want justice to prevail. And if Hunter Biden has committed crimes, he should be indicted and convicted.
Yes.
And the same is true with respect to Joe Biden, and the same is true with respect to
Donald Trump.
And so, you know, the wheels of justice operate rather slowly. They operated rather slowly with respect to Donald Trump. It took over 3 years for the process to get to where it's gotten today. And so maybe that same time frame is inclined. I mean, quite frankly, whether or not it's true or not, what you describe does constitute baggage, and it's one of the reasons why I would prefer to see someone else be nominated other than Joe Biden. But I'm not sure that there's any proof that there's a two-tier system or that Joe Biden and the Democrats are controlling the district attorneys in Arizona or in Atlanta or in New York City. But
CJ?
Fanny?
Yeah?
Can I respond?
Go ahead.
How about you say that there isn't two tiers. Okay. Three aliases Joe Biden used. Never had communications about Hunter's money or businesses. Potentially whistleblowers from the IRS. $5 million to both the dad and the son as he sat right
well,
next to
him. Look, all of those are facts being investigated. So I'm not going to talk about whether facts are facts until they've been investigated and concluded. You're talking about information that has surfaced, and the alias situation is an inference that you want to draw. I just think we all ought to wait for facts. I was content to wait for facts on Donald Trump as well.
the special counsel who was just named it for Hunter Biden, this gun charge took 5 years to come up with a plea deal that we know was a honey. If any, look at Spike Jones was got 5 years for the same charge as Hunter.
Okay,
you've
CJ.
You've got to be kidding me.
CJ, thank you very much for the call.
I mean, the problem we have with special counsel is apparently special counsels are designed to be selected to be nonpartisan. Special counsels have most frequently been selected that appear to be from the other party. The fact is that the special counsel in the Hunter Biden case was one recommended by the Trump administration and by the Republicans. He was selected and maintained in that capacity when Biden took over. So this is not a Biden-selected special counsel.
So, Sandy, help me understand this. Matt Gaetz, Congressman Matt Gaetz, warns of bloodshed from Trump supporters if he's indicted. How does any of these things make sense? How are they acceptable, that kind of verbiage, that kind of conversation from Congress people?
Yeah.
Sandy, I could understand a guy on the street. But when has that kind of conversation ever been allowed?
Well, I mean, the conversation could be viewed as simply predicting what will happen dispassionately and maybe even unhappily.
Yeah, but the verbiage.
But the fact is that the people who are saying it and the quarters from which it's being said seem much more like dog whistles to call out the and to essentially threaten that will be the outcome rather than to simply predict that might be the outcome. And so there's a big difference between those two. If you're simply predicting, hey, I think there could be trouble. I mean, personally, I predict there could be trouble. But I'm not in a position to blow the dog whistle and to make it more likely that there will be trouble by saying it. Matt Gaetz is in that position. Lindsey Graham is in that position. The politicians who are saying it, particularly the right-wing politicians that are saying it, can certainly be viewed as, in some respects, implicitly encouraging it.
You know, Sandy, it is anything. This is where we are today. I don't recall in my lifespan, even during some of the unrest that has taken place, Congress people using that verbiage, bloodshed, right?
Well, it's definitely proof that January 6th was an insurrection, that it represented a violent kind of a bloodshed situation. And what is now being talked about is the following acts of the similar kind of stuff. When you talk about it, it's predictive, but it also is suggestive.
But my problem with it being suggestive, Sandy, is to somehow threaten the government that if this doesn't come out the way we want it.
Right.
Okay. All right, government. All right.
Well, that's
justice system.
That's definitely the purpose. It's to intimidate. It's to tell the prosecutors and the courts, if this goes the wrong way, the blood's going to be on you. You know, it's on you if we have bloodshed because that's what's going to happen if that happens. And that is criminal.
Yeah, there's no question about that. That I don't care if you support whoever it is you want to support. That is outlandish. There's no place for that. Am I right?
No, absolutely. I mean, you know, when you step back, and realize that it really is encouragement, threatening encouragement. Okay, it's a threat to the justice system. If you do what you might well do in performance of your requirements as a justice system, there's going to be bloodshed.
You and I are on the radio, and we're talking, and people are listening, and we're on these airways. You never hear me say, I think it for anybody to publicly talk in that manner, Sandy, that they should be dismissed.
Well, you know, here's where I'll differ with you on that. I think you and I, as or the New York Times or somebody, could write that there is a concern that if this happens, this could happen. And that would not be necessarily viewed as encouragement. In fact, it might be viewed as discouragement, because maybe the next words are, we sure wish that that doesn't happen. Things ought to be, there ought to be plenty of whatever. But when public figures who are trying to get the system to operate differently, if what their motive is to intimidate the courts by saying, if you do this, there's going to be bloodshed, that's different. That's not commentary. That's threatening. That's encouragement.
All right, let's go to Bill from O'Connor Mall. Good morning to you, Bill. You say what?
This morning, I don't know if you listened to him, but I really enjoy his commentary, Joe Scarborough. He said, now the Republican Party has become, he didn't say these exact words, the enemy of the state. I'll insert the words. And Tommy Tuberville, by holding a Pentagon hostage, is proof of it. So what's my point? Here's my point. We dealt with Timothy McVeigh. We dealt with bin Laden. The Republican Party, 65% are imploding. The other percent is kind of sitting by quietly and half, although Liz Cheney isn't. Liz Cheney is still out there spreading the voice of reason, protecting America. I think kind of in a way that I could maybe accept, and with a big question mark, Chris Christie is starting to hold them accountable. I know in the past he didn't, and you could hold him accountable on that. But we have to look for leadership in the Republican Party that's not tainted by this communist-backed Republican Party. They deny it vehemently, but look where the money comes from. It's evident. This isn't a supposition or, geez, I heard from a friend and I read in the National Enquirer. No, Don Jr. says that's where we go for our money, because no other bank would take care of those people. Ron Johnson took money. So did Scott Walker. And then they deny it. Well, they're insulting our intelligence. Your intelligence, my intelligence, Sandy's intelligence. You're just insulting. Enough's enough. And I think America now, Democrats especially like Josh Call, I want to have him x-rayed, make sure he's got a backbone. He needs to go after Ron Johnson with a vengeance. Ron Johnson is a domestic terrorist.
You know, it's time that I reach back out to Josh Call. So, Sandy, I'm going to see if I can make sure that I get Josh Call on at the same time you're here. Because it's, you know, and it's not just on the local levels, these issues we're talking about, across, all of the states. When we come back, we're going to talk about the Wisconsin GOP threatens to impeach justice over donations. But conservatives have also done the exact same thing. And then when you ask them and say, hey, you guys did the same thing, their response is, yeah, but we're not talking about them, we're talking about now.
It's right out of a playbook, and it's Goebbels.
All right, we got to go to a break. We'll be right back. So,
experience Nightlight, September 8th and 9th from 5 until 10:30 p.m. Presented by Joy Engine. The dazzling spectacle is an immersive 4D light festival taking place in Milwaukee's historic Mitchell Street neighborhood. Digital animations, dance, music, art, and fashion combine to create a visual, family-friendly sensory experience outside of 710 West Historic Mitchell Street, home of Mitchell Street Arts. The event is family-friendly and free to the public. Don't miss this iconic event. Nightlight, where art comes to life. Information at joyengine.org. Direct from the Dairy State, it's Sharp Cheddar Weekends, a three-hour block of Wisconsin-produced radio, Saturdays and Sundays from 11 a.m. till 2 p.m., featuring Raised in Wisco with Joel Clayfish and Danielle Fairman, The Cripes Cast with Charlie Behrens, and Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown. You can enjoy it by the slice or enjoy the whole darn thing. Sharp Cheddar Weekends is radio so fresh, it squeaks. Listen in on the Civic Media station or on the app. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
And apparently, Maggie Dawn, Fig Newton lover, of the Maggie Dawn Show.
I was so offended, Jane. You know how much I love and admire you. You're like my freaking radio hero. And then to hear you bash my Newton.
It's still bad.
You want the cakey part cakey. You want the jammy part jammy. That is like bringing me back.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Cloudy skies expected this afternoon with highs around 69. Northerly winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Mainly clear tonight, lows around 49. Ample sunshine expected tomorrow, highs level off around 72. Mid-70s Sunday, much cooler Monday, with highs in the upper 60s and thunderstorms. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 57 degrees.
Whether you're heading down Les Paul Parkway or fighting traffic on the interstates, this is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. Sandy, I don't know where the time goes. It just goes by too fast. And Wisconsin GOP threatens to impeach justice over donations, but conservatives also took party cash. The whole country is looking at us again, Sandy. And our Supreme Court fiasco. And Republicans are being exposed as being people who are trying to undo what the citizens have decided to do in voting in and giving this power to the Democrats and for the state Supreme Court. And yet... the things that they are arguing about, Sandy, are nonsensical. Well, she took money from the Democratic Party and she should recuse herself from this. Well, almost all of those sitting have done the exact same thing.
Well, I think what's happened is that in politics, in particularly from the right, the exercise every power they have, they spend a great deal of time, politicians, and have spent now a great deal of time trying to figure out the exact lengths and breadths of the power they have, how many levers of power they have, and then they try to pull all of them, every one of them. And why? Because they can. And so there is this impeachment power, and impeachment is the acts that can be the basis for impeachment are basically politically defined by the legislature itself. And so this is clear, bald politics. But they're trying to paint it with some legitimacy associated with legal procedures, impeachment, and of course the horror here is that what they're really going to do is pull a lever, which is impeaching Protasiewicz, and then never trying her because the state constitution says that under impeachment she would have to sit down and basically be recused from all cases, and so why will they pull this lever? Because they can. And the horror is that, and it's just a repetition of what's been going on. Accuse everybody of what it is you're doing yourself. You know, if you've been caught with your hand in the till, no, point out that they've got their hand in the till. And if you've gerrymandered the state, no, then what you do is you immediately tell the public that we can't let this happen because they're going to gerrymander the state. If they have the majority of power, the liberals are going to gerrymander the state. Now, it's altogether possible that what the liberals could do is ungerrymander the state. That's really what the Republicans are worried about, being ungerrymandered. And whether the Democrats would go all the way to the other side and push the advantage, of course, that's not at all likely or even possible because the legislature is Republican controlled.
You know, Sandy, I'm thinking that many conservatives don't even realize that the state has been gerrymandered, that they have been in power and control. The average Joe.
Well, I mean, you know, I've pointed out that the concentration of population and demographics and socio-demography of the state makes it likely that it's that the state could the state representation in the Assembly and Senate could be disproportionate to the overall voting population, but it's really unlikely that it could be as disproportionate as it is, seeing as how we've had a state that has been purple and has been Democrat in terms of the plurality as often as it, as it's been Republican. And yet we have a supermajority of Republicans in the Senate, and we're only two seats away from a supermajority Republican in the Assembly. That is an altogether unlikely outcome just based on the socio-demographics without putting a thumb on the scale gerrymandering.
Isn't it safe to say it's almost theoretically impossible for a Democrat to become to win the presidency in the state, and that, that our state votes to put a Democrat in the presidential position as well as a governor that's Democratic, and then and a 10, don't gain any seats.
Well, and a 10 percentage plurality for the liberal Supreme Court justice, and then to have the pluralities that are Republican in the state house. I mean, the Heritage Foundation was absolutely right 15, 20 years ago, and so was Rove when they decided to focus on the state houses. When you control the state houses, you control a great deal. And so they decided to, by hook or crook, essentially, use the all the power they had, every lever, to try to put their thumb on the scale, to try and to fix the roulette wheel so that it would be basically disproportionate.
It's kind of safe to say, Sandy, that they've had this power for so long that they're terrified of what's to come, right? They don't know. Well, they're afraid that the Democrats are going to do the exact same thing to them that they've done to the Democrats.
In 1971, when I worked for the governor, I was on a small sort of secret committee to work on the redistricting of the state to negotiate it. Republicans and Democrats in the governor's office sat in on it. And I watched as the congressmen sat in a room and negotiated the districting for their seats so that no one would lose. And then I watched the process, which was very, very carefully and discreetly done because it was viewed as essentially improper. Gerrymandering would be unlawful. And so it was not, this was all very discreetly done. Today, it's all been done in public. And the discussion of putting the thumb on the scale is explicit.
So, Charles, quickly, Charles from Green Bay, quickly.
Weekend, enjoy yourselves. Second, my main point is this: why don't the people in Congress read what their oath says? When they take an oath to be a member of Congress, or even a president, it's basically the same one, and it's the same, similar to the one that's in the military. They don't follow any of the stuff that they have said that they will do. And I'll leave you with that. Have a great weekend.
Hey, thank you very much, Charles. Sandy, you want to?
Well, I think that what we got to do is get Congress to do what they're supposed to do, which is represent the people and protect the Constitution.
All right, listen, we got to go. Man, time flies by too fast. Thank everybody who made the show go. Again, Sandy and I are going to be at Racine County Youth Expo in Mount Pleasant on Saturday morning, interacting with the people from Racine and those children. See you guys later. Hey, Kevin, thanks for another great week. See you guys later.
No peace I find. Just an old sweet song keeps Georgia on my mind.
Georgia, Georgia.
I said just an old song keeps Georgia on my mind.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. It's never personal, only politics. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show with Dom and Crute. Weekdays from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.